Fun. Coming to you not live from Seattle, Washington, it's episode number 57 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Gentlemen, just like I said, unfortunately, because Brian had school the next day, we were not able to record live from Seattle. So,
hey, don't put that shit on me.
Please send all your hate mail at the Warriors3@gmail.com to Brian for not fulfilling a dream of mine doing a show from another state. But regardless, first and foremost, if you're new to this show, I am the tough cowboy Texan known as Ben. Joining me, as aforementioned, all the way from Red Sox Nation. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome to the show.
What the hell was that about? You scapegoating me, dude?
And, of course, joining us from the boroughs of New York City, Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
I ain't got nobody. That was my David Lee Roth impression.
Taser, ladies and gentlemen, Taser. And before I get into actual anything, I hope my voice sounds actually a lot better. I actually finally buckled down and had to get a mic. So hopefully audio now from my end will be a lot clearer, and hopefully this will make you listening to the podcast a lot more enjoyable. But if this is your first time listening to the show, and hopefully due to Emerald City Comic Con it is, just to let you know, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, whether that's comics, movies, TV, video games, even toys, as we talked about a couple episodes ago. And of course, this weekend was the first big con of the year of 2011 to kick off the con season, was Emerald City Comic Con, which I had the pleasure to join with, to hang out with Andrew and DB of the GL Corecast. Great time. You can go on the Green Lantern Core forum, GLCNB forum, and see all the pictures there. There's still more pictures coming up. But let's get into, I was tweeting, if you were following us on Twitter, twitter.com/Warriors3PCast. There was some pretty interesting tidbits. There was one big piece of news, but nothing, but here's some tidbits for Emerald City Comic Con. Jericho Voodoo, who is Brother Voodoo's dead brother Ghost, is apparently going to play a more of a presence in New Avengers, whether that's going to be a Dead Man-esque role or not. Brian Michael Bendis would not say. These are from his mouth himself. This is from Matt Fraction. Galactus will be in the first issue of The Mighty Thor. So if you were curious about picking the Thor book, the new Thor number one launching, I believe, in April, Galactus is going to
be
in it.
Volume 2 or Volume 3 for Thor?
It's The Mighty Thor, so I don't fucking care.
Yep, the last one was The Mighty Thor also, wasn't it?
No, the last one was just Thor.
Okay, and the one before that?
I can't remember. It was before my time. I think it was The Mighty Thor, so I think this is Volume 3.
Alright.
Well, Captain America's on Volume 5. Anyways, Galactus is going to be in the first issue of The Mighty Thor number 1, Volume 4. So check that out on stands April, I think. Some Moon Knight news. This is going to make Brian happy. Brian Michael Bendis is going to be developing a new kingpin of crime for Los Angeles in the Moon Knight, and a new Moon Knight ongoing set to release in May. And this is for all you Runaways fans, because apparently there's a lot of you, according to Emerald City Comic Con at least. There are plans for the Runaways, and not some like 2012 or something like that. There are plans for the Runaways that are in the works, and hopefully should be something out by the end of 2011, so look for that. I know this made Taser happy, me telling this yesterday. There's a new Alpha Flight book coming out.
So
whether it's a mini-series or an ongoing, I'm pretty sure it's a mini. But hey, you know what? Alpha Flight, you know, one of a staple of the Marvel Universe, and sadly gets pushed under the rug.
Vindicator! So, Guardian! Back again, baby!
No, there's no reports on the rosters, just an Alpha Flight book. So it could be just as bad as, I don't mean to crush Taser's dreams, but it could be just as bad as Omega Flight, the miniseries that came out of Civil
Bring back Puck!
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with that too.
Nick, and this is probably the biggest news of all, hot indie creator Nick Spencer is now exclusive to Marvel. Now I want to explain this to everybody. Basically, this means he will continue his work on Warning Glories at Image and his work on Thunder Agents at DC as long as that continues. But from now on, he will no longer be... Say if DC offered him one of them to do another book, they can't offer him that book because he's exclusive to Marvel. So he can only take future work from Marvel right now. But if you're a fan of Morning Glories and Thunder Agents, those are going to continue, so no need to worry about that. And the Infinite Vacation, his miniseries currently right now, is still going on. So, good for Marvel, suck at DC once again. The Avengers The Initiative, the characters from like Cloud9 and etc., will show up, apparently, in Fear itself. The miniseries about the teenage kids, I can't remember what it was called. This is for Arnold, who sadly is not joining us today. Ultimate X will continue. Apparently, the artist, Art Adams, as you know, he's very, very slow, very meticulous artist. Also, he's had a baby, so obviously that's going to take time getting an issue
out. Art Adams was pregnant? Nice!
His wife was. Right. But, you know, that takes time on the schedule. So, but apparently, the next issue is supposed to come out in April, so look for that. It looks to be getting back onto bi-monthly schedule as planned. No new plans for the new Venom, or Flash Thompson Venom, and Carnage to meet. So sorry to hear that. Not right now, but who knows, that could happen down the line. If you're a fan of the Wizard of Oz books that Marvel puts out, though these are, I asked Scotty Young himself, and he said there's more coming. There's going to be another one coming out, another new miniseries coming out later this year. So I can't remember the title right now. So look for that. And the last tidbit, Garth Ennis is going to do some more work at Marvel later this year. So I know that makes Fearless happy. Or Brian, rather.
Yeah.
So that was Emerald City Comic Con, and I want to say real quick, if anybody from Emerald City Comic Con is listening, it was a great show. Really fantastic. Crowds were manageable. Saturday was pretty little hectic, but it wasn't to the point where you wanted to rip people apart. You got to move through the lines quickly. Lots of great cosplay. The Legion of Boba Fett was cool. It was just a really fun show, you know, in a really cool area of Seattle. Again, I want to thank Andrew for everything he did, everything. So hopefully I'll be at the 10th anniversary of Emerald City Comic Con in 2012, but that's way over a year now since it's not going to be to the end of March of 2012. So we'll leave it at that. But that is our news headlines for Emerald City Comic Con 2011. I was a reporter. So let's move on to some actual rather news, and let's kick it off with something that came out right before I left for Emerald City Comic Con, which was the full reveal of the Red Skull costume.
Bum, bum, bum.
Hugo Weaving playing the Red Skull. I want to get straight into this. I think he looks fucking fantastic. That costume just looks... not even talking about his I guess, quote-unquote, mask, even though it's not really a mask. It's supposed to be just his face. Just how the it just looks evil. I don't know how to put it in words. It's just awesome. It looks authentic, and something that in a secretive branch of military power would wear. So I'm making up bullshit right now because I just got off the plane a couple literally 2 hours ago. But no, I think it looks really cool. I think it's a great contrast to the Captain America costume. You know, and just to talk about the face, you know, the conception I think a lot of people made was that it's going to be Edward Nigma, I'm thinking of the Riddler, Harvey Dent, like, you know, with Two-Face, but, you know, because we don't know if it's going to be a burn thing or if they're going to go I don't think they're going to go the Ultimate Warrior where he slices his face off.
That would be epic awesome. If they could do that. That would be awesome.
It would be, but I don't think they're going to go that route. But I think it looks really cool. It just screams the Red Skull. Like, they didn't fuck it up at all. I mean, the Red Skull is a design I don't think you can – I think you could mess up if you wanted to badly. But I think they got it right. I think – and I just watched The Rocketeer recently on Sci-Fi, and I didn't realize that the guy directed The Rocketeer is directing this, Captain America. So if you like The Rocketeer –
that's not a good thing. Dude, The Rocketeer is a horrible fucking comic movie.
I didn't think it was. I liked it.
Okay, so you realize the movie didn't do well, wasn't well received.
It wasn't.
Are we actually talking about The Rocketeer right now?
The Rocketeer is awesome. Anyways, yes. I'm just saying I enjoyed it. So my own personal preference, if he can make a similar movie to that, I'll enjoy it, and that's all I want. Anyways. If you haven't watched The Rocketeer, go watch The Rocketeer. It's really, I really
don't do it. If you trust the taser, do not watch it.
Don't trust the about taser. That movie
with Jennifer Connelly in it. That's about it. Other than that, do not watch this movie.
Anyways, Brian, what are your thoughts on the costume?
I agree wholeheartedly with your opinion. This costume, it just screams classic comic book villain. I mean, he's got the red going on, he's even got the skeletal features, he's got the leather and the straps, which the Germans will later utilize in certain Scheisse movies. But all around, I mean, this is just a very, very good a very, very good representation of the Red Skull comic book film. And to any of you, cough cough, Michael Hyde of the GLCMB, who complain about the little ear things, you know, get over it. I mean, look at this guy. He looks freaking awesome.
I don't get that complaint. Like,
he's mad. No, he's mad because the ears kind of show up on the mask when there shouldn't be. You know, typically on a skull.
Ears? How does he hear?
No. The skull is smooth, dude. Around the ears, it's smooth.
I never noticed that. I never noticed that. So.
Right. Well, that was one complaint that a certain member of the GLCMB had, and to that I say, get over it, because he looks awesome anyway, and he shouldn't be, you know, it's just one minor detail, it's not even noticeable, really, and it's one tiny personal flaw in a great design of a costume, and, you know, with the whole Hydra logo going on, and hopefully we'll get a taste of what his acting will be like behind the mask, which is important, but otherwise,
it's Hugo Weaving, you don't need to worry about it.
True, but I don't want him going, Mr. Rogers, it's good to see you again, or anything like that, you know? Let's keep it straight on the Red Skull. Otherwise, it's very, very good, and it gets my my seal of approval.
Like it needs your seal of approval. Last but not least, Taser.
I have to admit, that's probably the best thing I've seen coming out of this movie so far. The costume looks nice and Gestapo-ish, minus the fucking Hydra belt buckle.
Wow, you really don't like that?
Skull itself, you know what? It still bothers me that they're plugging Hydra instead of the Nazi party.
Well,
that still bothers
from
me.
What I read, the Hydra is a division of the Nazi armies. I know it's going to bother you.
Yeah, we went over this, and I know what you said, and I still say, bullshit! But, like I said,
I don't get that, why I still don't understand that, but whatever.
Well, I wasn't going to go into it. You dragged me into it. Anyway, the skull itself actually looks really cool, I got to say. And I can see Mike's beef with the ear thing because it's a bit distracting, but I can let it go. I do like this, but you know, my fear is that it's not a mask and it's really... I really think that's probably going to be his face, which I guess I'm okay with. It doesn't bother me too much. As much of a stickler for continuity as I typically am, I can let that go.
Wait, what are you talking about? Like, Hugo Weaving's actual face is going to be the mask for the Red Skull, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this, the Red Skull is... Are we sure that's going to be a mask? Or is that his, you know...
That is a good question. His face is hides the Red Skull face, if that makes any sense.
Exactly. So, you know, all right, so then wait a minute. You mean to tell me that his face, the skin is the mask, and this is what he really looks like. So he has, all right, so then something happened, and even though it's supposed to be skeletal, somehow he still has ears, because you know your ears are all cartilage.
Oh, fuck it. Suspension of disbelief.
Oh, see, exactly, you know? Which is why, again, I really don't have a problem with it, because overall, that look is tight. I mean, that really, it says Goose Stepper, and it makes me smile, you know? The only thing I really, really hope is that I get to see Captain America punch the fuck out of him. I really want to see that.
All right. Well, that's it. I think the Warriors 3 are pretty much happy with it. But let's go to something else. Apparently, Marvel Studios is trying to shop another movie property, which we were talking about this before the show. We were wondering, how does Fox not have... Shouldn't Fox have a handle on this? The Inhumans, this is all... Again, this is all rumors. I want to preface that. Are rumored to be shopped around to be a movie. Now, obviously, if you're a Marvel Comics fan, you know about the Inhumans. Not in great detail, but you've seen them show up. Black Bolt, Medusa,
Karnak.
Karnak. Who's the one? Triton.
Triton's the amphibious one, yeah.
Yes, who's the little green guy? Think of every weakness and every plan.
That's Karnak. Karnak is that one. And there's Crystal, who actually hung out with.
Isn't there Gorgon?
Yeah, Gorgon is the guy who can cause the earthquakes. And then Crystal, she hung around with the Fantastic Four and the X-Men for a while. She's married to Quicksilver, so she's got that going for her.
Okay, okay, which will bear no mean to this movie continuity. Ever.
True.
I mean, and the thing is, I don't know a lot about the Inhumans. They've shown up a lot. You know, Black Bolt has played a huge role recently. He was a Skrull, but...
He's kind of dead now, actually.
Well, he's dead right now.
In Taser's favorite series, The War of Kings. Yeah.
I remember that. I don't necessarily... I think there's other characters... the Inhumans could be a great thing to explore. It could be a great sci-fi movie. The Inhumans, especially because I think they were... From what I understand, again, I'm not the Inhuman expert. From what I understand, they left... Atalan, which was originally on Earth, they left to the moon because humans drove them out. Because humans are afraid of anything different. Which could delve into sort of that X-Men kind of thing. Which
it was really just Black Bolt said, "Ah, the hell with it."
Due to several, from what I heard, it was humans made war.
Yeah, that happened over that happened over in Silent War. I think is where some way or another, I think that the U.S. government got their hands on the Terrigen crystals, which give the Inhumans their powers, and the Inhumans wanted it back, and they refused, and that led to a whole.
They were on the moon at that point.
Was that already when they were on the moon?
Yeah, they were already. On the moon.
Yeah, they've been on the moon for a while. They've been on the moon for a while, as far as I know.
20 some odd years.
As far as I know, the reason they left was because of human fear of what humans were going to do to them. Again, I'm not the Inhumans expert. I mean, I wish I could tell y'all that there's a book. The only book that I know that would give you more information on Inhumans it's called The Inhumans by Paul Jenkins and Jay Lee, which came out about, I would say, 10, 9, 11 years ago. I want to say, I'm not exactly sure. But it's 12 issues. I've seen the trade. And as far as, they showed up in Fantastic Four, but this series actually delves into their, not their history, but their culture, how the Terrigen Mists work, how it's supposed to work, actually, and all that stuff. So if you want to read Inhuman stuff, it could be a good sci-fi movie. And of course, the beautiful thing about casting Black Bolt, doesn't have to speak at all, and he just has to be great at body language, which might be harder than actually speaking.
Well, the thing with the body language, you can make anything up, because he talks sign language, and,
yeah, he has a special thing with Medusa.
Right. But Black Bolt doesn't have to do jack squat for 90 minutes or even 90% of the movie. He just kind of needs to be around here to throw the master blow.
Exactly. His whisper can blow down a mountain. Isn't that how powerful he is?
Yeah.
It was his whisper that actually put Attilan up on the moon. So.
Yeah. So I mean, he can do great things. Now the question is, Black Bolt would be he's the headliner. But how can you make a headliner out of a guy who doesn't talk? I mean, who else in the Inhumans can you put in that role? I mean, Medusa could be the case, but there's no.
I think it would be a little bit of Crystal thrown in there. Crystal, maybe a little bit of Karnak, but. Yeah, that's the thing, though. The thing that makes the Inhumans great is that the chemistry they have between them, you know.
That's also tricky. You have to cast it to where as if these people were a family, and not like Twilight, where there's obviously no chemistry. Because the worst thing in a movie is when the two actors working together have no chemistry at all.
True.
Well, see, that's the thing about this also, because, you know, considering the closeness of that community, they're all somewhat related. But anyway, place of hillbilly music. But you know how you do this? You would do this like the way Kirby did Darkseid over at DC in the early days. He doesn't say anything. It's how everybody else reacts to Black Bolt. You know, you have they look to him to see, you know, how he reacts and you know, execute or whatever the hell. It's everybody else reacting to his presence. That's what would really sell him, okay? And, you know, exposition and everything else is given out by everybody else. Karnak would be cool to see on screen. I mean, come on, a kick-butt martial artist. You know, the guy who's, like, right here, and he breaks tanks. You know, breaks buildings.
True. It'd be cool.
Gorgon, who's foot-stomping. Medusa would be a very interesting effect, you know, with the hair thing.
I don't think we've seen anything like that, have we?
I can't
think of anything.
Any movie with Medusa, you know, really, it's kind of the same thing, but imagine hair, red hair, like fucking Mary Jane.
Yeah, obviously.
And, Crystal, come on, we're talking elemental effects. You know, that's just awesome right there. So, well, Black Bolt is just that big gun held in reserve.
He's the BFG. You know? He's the BFG.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's easy to do. It's simply getting the coordination and the, what was the word you used? The physical presence. He's got to carry that
body language
while being quiet. Yeah, thank you, body language. That's paramount. Without that, he's just going to be the guy in background.
Yeah, exactly, you know, and it just popped into my head. It has to be when you first meet Black Bolt. If any of you, probably most of y'all are old enough to remember this, where in the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, when the first time you see Shredder come out, like even though Black Bolt's a good guy, you got a sense of who this guy was without even saying a word. He just walked out, and they put his
cape
on.
Same thing with Darth Vader.
Exactly.
Darth Vader, when they came through it, when he walks. You know, it's like, oh, shit.
You don't say shit. You
know? And joining us late is Arnold.
AT, what up?
Late and brief.
All right. But I really feel that much like the Shredder, you have to, not necessarily in that way, but you have to let the audience know, this is the king. This is the guy. He is powerful. And when you show
When he passes you, you avert your eyes. You stick to the ground.
Exactly.
And the only thing I would say is, they can't eliminate the Fantastic Four from their first appearance. I wouldn't do it.
Marvel doesn't own them. Marvel Studios doesn't own the rights to the Fantastic Four movies. So you're going to... the Inhumans were around before the Fantastic Four. I mean, they could tell a story before they met the Fantastic Four.
There really was no story before they met the Fantastic Four. That was basically... They were just kind of chilling out there, floating around in space, and then boom!
They were on Earth. From what I understand, the Kree came to the Earth, and they experimented on humans, and that became the Inhumans. And they were around for a long fucking time before Johnny ever ran into Crystal.
No, I'm not arguing that point. What I'm arguing is that there really wasn't a point to them. There really wasn't a story that they could go about and do. It wasn't anything really for them to provoke them into the world until the Fantastic Four came.
Base it off any kind of certain. There's not a lot of Inhuman stories. There's not. This gives a writer a free amount of anything they want to do.
But you realize, of course, I give the Fantastic Four credit. The Fantastic Four were part and parcel to the introduction of a shitload of stuff.
Yes, they were, and I acknowledge that.
But what I'm saying is, this is one of the things that, as a comics fan, and as somebody who's probably going to see this movie, this is what I want to see.
But
this
you're not going to see it, so you might as well get over it now.
I didn't say, when did I say I wasn't going to see it?
No, I said, you're not going to see the Fantastic Four meet them. That's what I mean.
All right.
But you're gonna, see, I'm not saying you're not going to see the movie. Though. Come on.
This is paramount to, oh, look, here comes Galactus, the giant fucking space cloud. You know, because it's lazy to do the fucking...
Somebody let a cosmic fart.
Exactly. That's lazy. That's supremely
okay,
lazy.
But we're getting off topic. We're getting off topic. I doubt we'll see... You know, I'm pretty sure we're not going to see the Fantastic Four if this movie even gets made. Again, this is all rumors right now.
You're probably right. I'm just saying it's a mistake. That's all.
I don't think it is. It's not has. It shouldn't have anything to do with the comics.
Yeah, well, you suck and your ears suck. And your voice suck.
Arnold, since you're joining us late, any quick thoughts on this Inhumans movie?
It came out of nowhere, honestly. I didn't think the Inhumans were on the radar for a movie. They're another group of people I honestly know nothing about. The most that I've read of the Inhumans, honestly, mostly dealt with the fallout after House of M, when Quicksilver was running around stealing the Terrigen or Terrigen Mist. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, if anybody can help out there.
The Terrigen crystals.
Terrigen. Yeah, he was running around stealing the crystals, and then it became a mist after that, and all that kind of stuff. So that's really the only interaction I've seen with the Inhumans, is most of this stuff dealing with Quicksilver and House of M and the X-Men, and then a couple of things here and there after. Like, I don't even remember where Black Bolt died. Like, honestly, I don't remember if I
he
read it.
He died out in space.
Okay, maybe. Did it happen possibly during... Wasn't there, like, a war?
It was War... At the end of War of Kings, him and, I think it was Vulcan, battle into this huge space...
Vulcan. Oh, man. Okay. Sorry, that's a whole other story, Vulcan.
Don't get into that.
I guess it could be cool. It's definitely something that I think might possibly... potentially cater more to the fans than anything else. I think their biggest, maybe one of their hurdles, honestly, is just getting the general audience interested in, not to say that they're no-name heroes, but heroes that not many people have heard of instead. So I think that's their biggest trouble, but make it look good. It's not a Fox movie, is it?
No, it's Marvel Studios.
Then it's already doing better than most movies. So it could be cool. I'm looking forward to it. I'm all about superhero movies, whether they're heroes that I'm interested in or not, because that means, you know, especially some of the lesser-known heroes, I'm glad that they're coming out with stuff. That means that, you know, they're trying to get more people to the forefront and get people exposed to other characters and other superheroes that are out there. So I'm all about it. Good or bad, at least they're making them. I'm always praying for more good than bad, but... It's cool. I'll check it out. I'll wait for more news before I make an official decision as to see it or not see it, of course, but sounds cool to me.
All right, and now I'm going
to... Oh, wait, before we move on, I just want to throw one last note in there, right. If that's okay.
Go ahead.
I'm putting my vote in. This is just a fan talking, but I'd like to personally see Wentworth Miller in the Black Bolt position, but that's just me.
Does he... Can he not talk?
That'd be sweet.
I don't know who this person is.
Want him in it for pure shallow reasons. He was the lead guy in the dude that was all tattooed up in Prison Break.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch Prison Break, so I don't know.
Never saw that either, so.
Oh. Okay, glad I'm not the only
one. I thought you would know this even less then. He was in a Mariah Carey music video.
Was he in the one with Eric Roberts one? Where she ran away with somebody?
With the guy? Well, yeah, actually. He's the guy she ran away with.
Holy shit.
We Belong Together. It's the We Belong Together music video.
Wow, who knew, huh?
Him and that Bible, is that
really?
Is
some Miller. Random white guy, because Mariah Carey only does videos with white men.
Hey, she picked a good one for this one.
All right.
Anyway, that's just my last note.
Okay. With all
right. We were originally going to talk about Shane Davis's plan for Iron Man 3, but you know what? I'm going to say fuck it.
Shane Black.
Let's move on.
Shane Black.
Whatever.
You're going to diss the guy. Say it right.
Shane Black. What did I say? Shane Davis?
Yeah.
Did I say Shane Davis?
He's an illustrator.
Superman Earth 1 hardcover. But let's move on. To comics, where Arnold's actually going to take a little seat right now because he didn't read it. The book of the week, we are taking a trip into feudal Japan, our first week into feudal Japan, with...
Okay.
Five... What?
No. I finally saw who Wentworth Miller is. Okay.
With five Ronin number one Wolverine. This is I didn't even realize this is weekly for the next four more weeks. But this issue, basically what we probably have seen a lot, Wolverine and Feudal Times, just a little bit different. I really like this issue. This is probably one of my favorite issues I read this week. It was, the thing about doing Wolverine Japan, it didn't feel like it was going over the same shit over and over again. To me, at least. This is just me. I thought the art was fantastic. I thought it fit the style. I thought it was dark, but not too dark where it's muddy, if that makes sense. I think Peter Milligan has a grasp of Wolverine in this time period, and I don't really have much to say about it. It was really positive. It really has me looking forward to the next issue, which is I think is Hulk. Hulk is the next issue, which is the one I'm most curious about. I give it a solid 4 out of 5 for me. It's again, like I said, it's so easy to do a Wolverine in Japan story, but he put a different spin on it, which made it feel somewhat fresh and new, and not something we've seen 1,000 times. So yeah, solid 4 out of 5 for me. Brian, what did you thought of this issue?
Okay, let's see. I was a little actually disappointed by it. Not in like the art or anything like that, but it's just the way the whole plot of the book unfolded. It confused me a little bit, just to say the least, until I got to the end. I'm like, oh, you know? So I gave it a second read through. What'd you say?
Too many big words?
No, it wasn't the big words. It was just, I don't know, it was kind of an interesting twist at the end, I guess. I mean, more interesting than what you might see in a Shyamalan movie, but it was interesting, to say the least. What the twist? Nah. But, you know, the Peter Milligan, you know, he did produce a decent story, and I was fairly interested all the way through. And of course, the art is almost like a period piece, so it was very good, very time period sensitive, which is good. And of course, the covers by David Aja are just fantastic. I managed to pick up the Wolverine cover, and that was great. But you know, all around the book was interesting. You know, I'm not like flipping in my seat for, but it was fairly interesting. Storytelling was good, art was good, and I'm definitely looking forward to see the Hulk, how that unfolds, and especially I'm really looking forward to Deadpool. Big surprise. But you know, it was really good, and I enjoyed it, and it's kept me on for the next one. So I'm giving it a solid 3 out of 5 for right now.
All right, 3 out of 5. Taser, any thoughts on Five Ronin and number 1, Wolverine?
It was interesting, but I was disappointed that it was there was nothing superheroic about it. You know, it was just, okay, let's take a few common elements and let's weave a generic story of revenge, sprinkle this, that, and the other here, and here, and let's see where it takes us. I was really expecting something a little more, okay, if this is Wolverine, yeah, let's have something a bit more than the normal, you know? This was very, very plain, you know? I read it, I didn't feel, it didn't make me want to read, if there's continuing adventures of, I don't really care, you know? Nothing, it didn't grab me, it didn't hold me, it didn't go, hey, don't you want to read this next issue? I'm like, yes, sir, please, give me more. I'm disappointed. I'll have to give this I have to give this a 2.1 warrior out of 5. Don't pick it up.
All right. So I guess it's pretty mixed reviews. I really enjoyed it. Then again, I think every samurai story is a revenge story. But then again, I don't write Japanese stories, samurai stories. But real quick question before we move on to individual reviews, are you guys going to pick up Hulk number 5 Ronin Hulk?
I will, yes. I'm definitely on for that one. So.
Taser? Are you going to pick up 5 Ronin Hulk, Taser?
We shall see. That's the best I can say.
All right, well, I'm going to pick it up. No word if it's going to be the book of the week yet. Probably won't be. But let's move on to individual reviews, which I'm going to take Ultimate Captain America number 3. This is the penultimate issue of the miniseries by Jason Aaron and Ron Garney, Captain America artist Ron Garney. This was basically the typical issue where we get the attempt to break Captain America, no matter what universe he's in. But I found this one a little bit more meaning, because basically what he does, the Captain America of Vietnam, because I can't remember his name right now, basically tortures Steve Rogers of everything that the U.S. U.S. government has done since, I guess, post-World War II. He waterboards him, and he's pouring water, he's waterboarding him, he's like, you're telling me waterboarding isn't torture? And he has his eyes open for, like, Japanese internment camps and all the horrible shit. And he has audio playings of screams from Darfur and the Middle East of kids being raped and women being raped. And he's just putting all this on and on. And every time Cap tries to escape, you know, just like to Taser's amusement, he gets his ass kicked by old people with the super soldier serum. But I found it really interesting because, you know, you couldn't get away with something like this in a regular Marvel Universe book. You know, it's just the characters are built in that way. You know, it's interesting how that even in the Ultimate Universe, Captain America never says die. And that's what I like, despite that this character is a douchebag, and he's really not that likable in some cases, he doesn't say die. And what I found interesting, and of course the end of the issue is basically him praying to God, as we saw in the first issue of the series, which came out in January. He's praying, he's like, and he right at the panel, the Captain America of Vietnam walks in, and he says, there's just a scream, you don't know who it come from, and Steve Rogers, a thought balloon or a little text box just says, and I see the right hand of God, or I see the hand of God. So either somebody just got shot, or more than likely Captain America of Vietnam just got his ass handed to him. I found this issue, again, like I said, really thought-provoking, really interesting, in that no matter what, now that Steve Rogers, it's hard that he didn't find out about all this before this guy put him through all this, but either A, he could be like an Ion fan and, you know, just ignore everything like this. But I found I found that he still supports the red, white, and blue. And I guess that says a lot about the character that, you know, despite all the atrocities that this country has committed, he still, fights for the ideal, even in this universe. Solid 4 out of 5 for me. I would pick up the trade when it comes out, you know. Just be forewarned, this Captain America, it's not for children. It's not for kids. But let's go cosmic. Brian is, and it's not Taser this time, Brian is going to take the helm with the new Annihilators miniseries, Annihilators number 104. Take it away, Brian.
Okay, so let's see. Here we are, after the whole Thanos debacle, and what do we got? We have the Annihilators established, this team of intergalactic badasses set to team up and take on the bad guys of the universe, at the request of Star-Lord. This picks up after the one-shot that was released, I think, a month ago. And essentially what happens is, while they're having their first meeting, discussing their first threat to meet, which is eventually decided upon to be the Dire Wraiths, which is, I guess, a throwback villain, what we get is this being called the Space Knight crashing through the roof and declaring that it is now the leader of the Annihilators. What we find out is that this Space Knight is named Icon. She is a woman, and she is the greatest living Space Knight in the entire Order. What we get from the Annihilators half of the story is essentially the group trying to come to terms with her placing herself inside the group when they didn't really decide they wanted her there. She's kind of crashed in and said, hey, I'm on your team now. And then following that, alongside this, actually, we have another villain named Dr. Dredd, which I thought was kind of stupid. he is there, and he is the one working for the Dire Race to open the portal to kind of allow them to gain their power back and come back into the world. And at the end of the Annihilators half of the issue, we get Dr. Dredd finally opening this, like, Eclipse Black Sun portal, and Dire Race Beast or something has come flying through, and it's all hell released on the world of the Star Knights, which is, you know, probably going to be something picked up the next issue. And following that, we actually have the, is it half the issue pretty much is devoted to Rocket Raccoon and Groot, who get their, they get their own half of the issue. Yeah, it was pretty cool. What we get in this, in their half of the story is, after the whole Guardians of the Galaxy thing broke down, you know, the story takes on kind of more of a comedic twist, I guess, because what we get is we got Rocket Raccoon working in the mailroom of some other intergalactic corporation, and he's trying to adjust to normal life kind of after, you know, he's done being a hero and he's done working for the Guardians. And essentially when he's called to a meeting with his boss almost gets assassinated and he saves him. And in return for all his hard efforts, Rocket Raccoon gets fired. And so finally, out on his ass, unsure what to do, he goes to track down Groot. And once going back to Groot's world where everyone can only say, "I am Groot," essentially what happens is Groot at some point proclaimed himself the king of the planet. But what ended up happening was the true king was there all along, and turns out Groot was like the leader of a rebel faction that he proclaimed himself the king of. And so once he returned home after the Guardians disbanded him, he was tried for treason and impersonation, and he was sentenced to exile where he's currently chained up, helpless, and alone. And that will lead into the next issue of Rocket Raccoon was like trying to save Groot, and the Annihilators dealing with the Black Sun and Dire Race. Let's see. Adnet and Lanning, of course, they deliver again. A really, really strong first issue. Storytelling is it's solid. It's fast paced. It keeps you wondering what's going to happen next, and that's what I think you want from a galactic book. And also, it was a good balance between the two sides of the story. It was a little pricey, though, which is my only complaint. As you guys so pointed out, it was $5 for the issue, and maybe felt a little thin, but for the content you got of it, I felt that it was worth it. But the art is good, you know. I got the Mignola cover on mine, which is awesome. Mike Mignola did the Groot and Rocket Raccoon cover. Storytelling, of course, is what Abnett and Lanning, it's their standard. They live up to it, and it's a very, very good read. And I honestly recommend this, if you have the cash to spend on it. Otherwise, I'll recommend that you kind of maybe wait for a trade, I guess, because this thing, I don't see getting any cheaper if they're going to include these many pages in each book, so... but overall, story was solid, art was great, and I recommend this as long as you got the money to burn. And I give this a 4 out of 5, solid 4 out of 5. So,
all right, Taser, take it away with the final issue of the comic named after us, The Warriors 3, number 4 of 4.
Before I say anything, I just want to say this: I am Groot. Okay.
That's going to be the title of the episode, by the way.
Awesome.
Or rather, I am something. It'll be I am something. But take it away, Taser.
Anyway. The Warriors 3, number 4, last issue of the series, does not disappoint. You know, I've been having some fairly big misses with the Marvel series of late. Like the last 18 months, I've been very disappointed for the most part. But this, I guess because it wasn't some huge mini that encompassed a whole lot, this didn't really throw me off too much. Basically, we're at Endgame now, where it's like, oh no, Ferris Wolf is loose, we gotta go catch him, oh no, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We gotta run over here, and we gotta do this, and we gotta do that. At the end of the last issue, they had the Warriors 3 and the female AIM scientist who had turned herself into Xena, had found the flying craft that they were in being knocked out by a tractor, and they were basically falling towards Earth. And there's no magic save in this one. They basically impact, and you see a nice giant mushroom cloud. But, you know, we're looking at 3 Asgardians and the chick who has nominally Asgardian stats. They wake up, you know, dust themselves off, go, oh, that hurt, and go about their business. They managed to track Fenris to this town that he apparently ate.
He ate a town.
He ate a town. And, you know, tried to impersonate a little girl, but the AIM scientist, you know, was kind of too quick. She recognized him for what he was, and they go into it. Blah, 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 boom, 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 they fight. Fenris gets a hold of Volstagg's sword, and thinks it's a good idea to break it. Yeah, breaking magic swords, not a great idea, especially not considering what happened to all of them, okay? Fenris manages to wake up first before they do. He goes about the task of taking the big giant kill all Asgardians bomb to Asgard. They come up with a plan to head him off at the pass. Hogan goes head up, and I do mean Hogan goes straight head up. Yo, we're talking gangster, G. clong, 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 bop, bop, bop. Yo, he mans up. This dude, yo, went brawly. Volstagg gets a hold of the bomb, and he, you know, takes it to this particular meeting spot that they had all planned from the jump, so that when inevitably Fenris would get the better of Hogan and catches up with Volstagg, Fandral and the girl, they come up with the thing which captures Fenris Wolf. If you've been following it, I really don't need to tell you what it is. You can kind of figure it out. But let's just say, okay, sword coming, not bad. It's pretty much the only thing they could do because they weren't going to kill Fenris. All in all, it sufficed. You know, the ending didn't blow me away. The girl ends up becoming an Asgardian proper. She even, the last panel we see her in, she's even talking like them. She calls herself Loki's half daughter. Some mess like that, you know, which Loki himself's kind of like, really? apparently, she says that Fandral and Hogan have a falling out over her. I'm like, really? That's a novel idea. All in all, it wasn't a bad read. You know, it was entertaining and it was light, and I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. I have to give this, I'll give this series on a whole a 3.8 Warriors out of 5, and I give this last issue here, I give it a 3.3. You know what, I'll be a little more generous. I'll give it a 3.5. So let me say, 3.5 for the finale and a 3.6 for the series in general. There you go.
Okay.
Pick it up.
Three.
I'll definitely get the trade. Trade will be worth it.
And, of course, that's Taser's review. Thank you for that, Taser. Let's move
Add one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on, I want to add one thing. I would like to say kudos to Bill Willing and Neil Edwards, the writer and the penciler on this book, because I generally don't mention who creates stuff, but I think I should do that in this case because it was an entertaining story. Big ups to these guys.
All right. Thank you for that. Let's move on to our Versus of the Week, which is pitting Marvel's favorite Frenchman, Batroc the Leper, or Batroc the Leaper to all our American listeners, which...
He's a leper? Ew!
The Leper. The Leper. I like saying that. And versus Natasha Romanoff, the Black Widow. Batroc the Leaper, as far as I know, is very... He is extremely skilled in savate street fighting, which is a French martial art, and Black Widow,
jumps.
Deadly Russian assassin. So I think Batroc, I don't think he should be underestimated. Savate street fighting, despite the Batroc the Leaper has been used as a joke for a long, long time. If you've really seen what savate street fighting can do and... A person who's trained under that tutelage for years can do with that kind of those kind of techniques. It's a pretty devastating fighting style. That being said, Black Widow has more fighting styles, and while Batroc the Leaper will give her a run for her money, I think eventually Widow puts him down. So my vote goes to Widow. Brian.
I'm gonna agree with you. I'm gonna side with the Russian here, only because I have actually never heard of the other person. So,
how can you call yourself a fan of the Marvel Universe and not at least know of?
Well, because I don't know some random chick. What the hell, dude?
It's
I mean,
Chuck the Leaper.
Never heard of her. I give it to a...
It's him. It's a him. What?
Whatever. Point is, I gave it to Romanov. Even if I didn't know who he was, she is just the super spy who will kill you in your sleep on Christmas, and that's just something you don't want to mess with. So I give it to Romanov.
Whatever. I mean, I agree with you, but you should at least know about Batroc the Leaper.
I'll go wiki the person in a second, okay? Yeah, Jesus.
Savat Street Fighting. Taser, are you going to go with the Black Widow with the clean sweep?
Yeah, because the last time Batroc looked even somewhat formidable was way back in the day.
Actually, I have to correct you. He actually was formidable in about 4 years ago, so that's more recent.
In what?
Captain America.
In what? Against Bucky?
He was. That ain't saying much.
Against Bucky?
Bucky was a deadly assassin, dude. I mean...
It's, and
did he get his ass kicked? Because that just puts a point about Romanov.
No, but he's still toe-to-toe with him.
Oh, okay, yeah, see, that's the thing. Batroc is never by himself. Yeah, lame. I give freaking Black Widow. Black Widow will do stuff on her own and house it. House. Batroc doesn't go out unless he's got backup. Fuck him.
I had to try to get some Batroc love. All right.
That's why we say the things about you that we do, you know?
I just want to incorporate more of the smaller parts of the Marvel Universe.
No, I get that. I get the desire, but, you know.
We can't go through the heavy hitters right away. Speaking of that, let's tease our next matchup, which will be another French villain, the Grey Gargoyle.
Oh, my God.
Versus, as I look at my wall of Marvel posters, who's it going to be? The Scorpion.
Really?
New or old?
The first appearance of the Scorpion, yes.
Matt Gargan.
Yeah, Matt Gargan, yes.
Well, Matt Gargan's Scorpion again, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, but he's different now. But we'll get into that next week. So next week's matchup, you already know it. Grey Gargoyle versus the Scorpion, Matt Gargan.
No. Let's nail it down now. Original flavor or update? That's what I'm
Original
saying.
Flavor.
Okay, cool. No problem.
So tease that next week. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this show went really quick. As I alluded to at the beginning of the show, you can contact us at thewarriors3@gmail.com. We have our website, www.thewarriors3.com. Twitter.com/warriors3pcast. Of course, you can come check out where we originally found each other, www.thegreenlanterncorps.com. Great website where you can go all green, and it's so fun. Is that still funny? I've been away for a couple of days. Is that still funny? I don't know. So join us. Brian.
Yo.
What do you have to plug tonight?
Well, let's see. Of course, I gotta plug my LCS, New England Comics, over in Brockton, Mass. Outside of that, really nothing that I can think of. That'll be it for me.
Taser.
Well, aside from the Asian sandwich that I typically plug. big ups to the guys over there at Silver Age Comics. And I gotta say it. I have to say it. I liked I Am Number 4. Yes, I did.
Hey, I agree with you, buddy. I'm on your side here.
I don't care if it was for the Twilight group. I don't care if it was for teeny girls. Oh, he's so teeny. You know what? The kid's powers saved the movie for me. And the blonde... Dang, you know what blind I'm talking about.
The foreign chick, dude.
Oh, hells yeah. No, I loved it. Loved it. So, you know what? Go see this movie.
It validates every Xbox geek playing countless hours of Modern Warfare on there.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I play a lot of Xbox. Wow, okay.
Are you guys done with your hard-ons for this movie?
Oh, fuck off, Reaper. Just go. Get on with it already.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, be sure to tune in next week for episode number 58 of the Mighty Warriors Tomorrow podcast as the book of the week, because I'm going to announce it right now, will be Venom number 1, the new ongoing, because we've talked about it so much. Venom number 1. Let's hope Rick Remender and Tony Moore can deliver once again. See you next week for episode number 58.
Hell no, I won't be here, and you people suck.